All of the opinions expressed in this podcast are often based on our memories, none of which are representative of Ashbrook High School or Gaston County Schools. Thank you. Hey, I'm Andrew Collins.
And I'm Tripp Griffin.
And we are very happy, very fortunate to have two Ashbrook alums with us today, and I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
I'm Justin Moorhead.
That was Caleb. I'm Justin Moorhead.
That's right. I'm Caleb Davis. We're both class of 2003.
Well, we're really excited to have you guys on here. What we're wanting to do is talk to several Ashbrook alums that we know that you guys would be interested in finding out about what they're doing now and some of the things that they've done in their post-Ashbrook days, and maybe talk a little bit about what they did in their Ashbrook days. And
just be careful.
And we're going to start with May of 2003, and we want to know everything you've done since then.
So long,
you walked across the stage. You got
long
the
podcast. I don't know that I walked across the stage. I don't know. No, I think I did. So I'll start. So May 2003, went to Methodist University on a voice scholarship and switched majors, ended up finishing with a degree in communications and a minor in writing, and was in sales, sold a bunch of different stuff, mm-hmm. copy machines, and sold radio advertisements, and sold home security systems, and sold all kinds of things, and then started to teach music with Caleb and worked at a cabinet shop for a while and played some gigs, and now teach part-time drums, guitar, singing, and do ministry part-time for both of those. I don't know what I said.
Yeah.
Do music in church.
See, I've already learned something.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Which part?
A lot. I didn't know that you had gone into sales. I didn't know you had changed your major from music.
Yeah.
I mean, music is communication.
That's right.
Right.
I've heard about
and
the sales
the writing.
Part.
I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first job I was gonna that I seriously wanted to get was gonna be editing a being the editor for a newsletter for a maritime museum in Beaufort, North Carolina.
Yeah, Beaufort's a cool place.
Yeah. So that was just the writing deal and the communications trying to do that, but it didn't work out. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. So to the best of my knowledge, I went to a couple years, to get general requirements done. You know, like I went to, I supported the North Carolina school system for a while. I went to, I bounced around. It doesn't matter. I ended up going I ended up going to Berkeley in Boston, and I graduated there probably 08, 07, something like that.
Now, is everybody at Berkeley music majors?
Yeah, I know it's that's all it was, school. Just okay. Music school, yeah. And then, let's see, I got married before then, and I got married super young. So just a couple years right after high school. So me and my wife went up there to Boston, and then I left there and went to Nashville and worked around there for a while. And until I realized how much I didn't want to be in Nashville.
Right.
And if you want to go around and play a couple chords all day and you want to sit behind artists and like play their music and be fine with that, that's your place to go, man. Yeah. But it's a pretty plastic town and there weren't a lot of creativity being pushed. So we moved back here in 2009 and Justin and I started working together pretty soon after that. And I started a little music lesson business and teach music lessons. We got 100 or so people come up to the house every week. Got three little studios at the house, and so we do that and keep busy with that. I got another guy that works with us, and I go out and play gigs every night, and that's pretty much it. It's a strange way to make a living, but it's fun.
So music is your life.
I don't make a dollar without a guitar in my hand. That's a fact.
Hear, hear.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So now being in Nashville, some Berkeley, what would you say maybe your biggest brush with fame, like maybe people that you were around that made it big, or
everyone but me.
Where's the yearbook?
Right. Let's just think about that for a minute. Yeah, I mean, and when I was in Boston, I mean, everybody seemed like my whole class was doing crazy stuff. They, Imagine Dragons, you know, they were in. We had class with those guys and three of them. I don't know.
Were they already a band?
No. But we had they. A couple of those guys actually performed on my senior project, the drummer and the bass player.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. Wow. And the singer, he was from out west somewhere, so I never met him. But I had guys that went on to play, like, especially in the fusion, jazz fusion world.
DJ.
A lot of guys went on to play in, like, Screaming Headless Torsos and stuff like that, and, which is not famous music. But the girl who won the Grammy for Artist of the Year a couple years ago was there when I was there, Esperanza Spalding. So, I mean, there was a bunch of people there that did that. And in Nashville, you really just kind of, everybody is that.
Yeah,
like, right. That's, it's like the little Southern Hollywood, you know. Everybody, you go to the grocery store and there's the Rascal Flatts and Alan Jackson.
Buying bread and milk.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You would think they had it, would sit out with Postmates or something. Yeah. That stuff.
Oh, that's not country, though.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah.
You have to be cool and go to the grocery store yourself.
So, fun fact, Justin is married to Caleb's sister.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Kanan.
Younger sister, Kanan. Mm-hmm. So, and she was a class of 2004.
Yeah. Right. Correct. One after us.
Yeah. She was one of my soccer players.
Yeah. So, absolutely. We is brother-in-laws.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, very cool.
For real family.
Now, one thing I, we were talking about this before we started recording, but back in, I think 2003 was the only year, but we had a strong group of musicians that came through here. Mm-hmm. I mean, people didn't just listen to music. People played music. And even if they weren't good, they played music. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were, you know, dozens of people that played the guitars or played drums. And we were talking about the Battle of the Bands that they had back in, and I guess that was spring of 03. I remember we had bands set up in the cafeteria. We had bands, was it the auditorium or in the parking lot? I don't remember. There were four places.
Yeah. We used to go, it was every wall of the cafeteria.
Was a band. Had a stage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And even like, and now I'm trying to think. You played in two different bands that were.
It was every year of my school here.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was 99, 2001, it was all of
I remember that year in particular because the bands were quality. There was a Kid Can't Act. Do you remember Andrew Franklin's band? And they were good. And the thing was, the music was good. And the students were really involved. This year, I don't know if you guys know or not, they did a Ashbrook's Got Talent.
Hmm.
I didn't get to make it. We were out of town that weekend, but it was people singing, people performing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the young lady that won did a Rubik's Cube in like less than a minute, which amazes me.
Right.
You know, but I really wish we had that same type of interest in music to where we would be able to put on some. I don't know that we could right now. We've got a lot of kids with a lot of talents, but I think it was just those years, you know, around 2000, that we had a lot of people that just their interest was in music, mm-hmm. and they enjoyed getting out there and performing. And I just remember that Battle of the Bands, you know, being I brought my little kids that were
you
know, at the time.
Well, and they were helping out. They were helping schlub stuff from place to place and count votes. And I remember putting them to work. That was student council. Heather and I were running student council then.
Oh, yeah.
So.
That was awesome. So, you remember, it was more than just that. We would play at tailgate parties.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Football games. Yeah.
We did. There were special events here, and they would bring our bands in and stuff. And we would play a lot here. Like, it's kind of where we, I mean, I would.
First place I remember performing, really.
Yeah. Like, I would say we kind of cut our teeth in bands, like, here.
Here.
Yeah.
Trey Woody's house and here.
That's right.
So, you guys, I know that you guys teach music and pretty much any instrument one way or the other.
Yeah,
yeah.
They can be taught to play. So feel free to plug that any that you want to.
Bagpipes especially.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Now, that's something I want to learn. And I've heard you start with, like, it's sort of like a recorder. It's a little, you don't carry around bagpipes learning. There's a.
Geller could help you with that one.
Yeah. Really? I think when I retire, I would like to do that. I have a friend that does that, and he gets a lot of money to play at funerals.
I'm sure.
Funerals, weddings, anything with a dirge.
Yeah.
It's like being a pole vaulter, man. Nobody does it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can charge whatever
Hedge
you
your
want.
Bets,
and
you
it
know?
Can't be that difficult, right?
Oh, I think it's probably easy. I would say simple.
Okay, we're going to have you come here again next year, and we want to hear how far
next
year.
Next week.
Yeah.
Was it kind of like the ukulele of?
I've never touched one.
Okay.
It's got a bladder, which is neat. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. I think it can sound pretty bad.
So. Oh, yeah. Especially indoors, because it's designed to be heard outside, far away. And
well,
the hills of Scotland.
Right.
Another thing that we were talking about before we started recording, these guys have listened to our previous episodes of the podcast, and one of the things we talked about with Ashbrook Traditions, and it was just barely mentioned, was the spirit skull. And
you want me to put it to rest?
But yeah, we want you to do
absolutely.
That. Absolutely. We were talking about these different things. Tripp mentioned the spirit skull, and then somebody else said something, so we kind of never got back around to it. When I listened to it, I thought, oh, we never talked about the spirit skull. And I thought, oh, that'd be really cool. And it just so happens that these guys can shed some light on what the spirit skull is, mm-hmm. and then what you want to tell us what the spirit skull is, and then we'll let them tell the...
No, they can tell the whole thing.
They can tell the whole thing. Okay.
The spirit skull is not as much of a skull as it is a pelvis.
That's way different.
It's not our fault it looks a lot like a skull.
And it's also not our fault that we promoted it as a skull to enjoy watching people stick their face behind a cow pelvis. That was also intentional.
Yeah. That would be spring of maybe 2001.
Yeah.
As our sophomore year.
Sophomore year.
My parents lived in Colony Woods, and if you go to the end of Colony Woods, there was a cul-de-sac that had a trail that went through some woods. You had to walk across a pipe, and it came out to this massive cow pasture that is now Piedmont Charter.
The new Piedmont Charter location.
And we would go out there, and it was just a blast. We'd go out there, as one does, and try to get the bull angry and
kick around,
you know, try to get chased by.
Always,
it was,
yeah.
You know, good stuff. So one day we're out there, and this gentleman by the name of Brandon Thompson was with us. You guys remember Brandon Thompson?
Mm-hmm. Gentleman, scholar.
Right. Absolutely. Both.
And it was, you know, it was trying to anger the cow or the bull enough to come after us. And we were up under a tree. There's this dead cow laying under a tree. And he had been dead for some time. He
was halfway rotten.
He was an ex-cow. And we were not surgeons. There was no... I don't know if you want this on
there's
your
a lot of connective. There's a lot of connecting tissues.
Yeah.
And fibers.
With no tools.
And things that I don't know about. We don't have tools.
So we had sticks and rocks. So we disassembled the cow.
That's the way our ancestors did it.
That's a fact. Right. That's a
it's
fact.
Exactly right.
And that's what we connected with. It was a moment. We were like,
we had a moment.
And so I set this thing aside in a place where I knew that somebody else wouldn't come take it, which now I look at it and I go, why would anybody come take this?
But luckily it was a treasure.
I heard myself think that, and then I was like, wait a minute. But I set it aside so that it would get the elements would eat it away, mm-hmm. and clean it up, because I didn't want to. And then I remember Justin, we went back and got it, and I think Justin took it to his house and Cloroxed it down.
Painted
that makes
it.
Me feel a little better that Clorox was involved.
We did
in some
Clorox
way.
It.
Okay.
Yeah. The bugs and the birds, I think, ate all the meat off of it.
There were some nuggets on there that needed to get removed.
So it's pretty disgusting, but that is the spirit
That's
skull.
The spirit skull.
Somebody, and I had no part in painting it up or anything.
I painted it.
You did? Okay.
Cloroxed it, painted it, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's been painted a couple of times. I'm sure it's gone through versions. I don't remember it. Honestly, after kind of watching it be used a couple of times, I don't remember it at all. I think we just kind of let it go.
I'm happy to hear that it's still in use.
If you love something, you let it go.
Somebody still put a cow pelvis on their head.
Enough people remember it to where it was brought up.
That's so, good. Yeah, that's great.
That's good.
Cow pelvis.
Now that that's put to rest.
Now, one of the things you guys do that I find interesting, that a lot of people play covers and go out and play. And I know you guys play some of your own music, and I know you guys play a lot of covers and different things. But one of the things that you guys do that I'm not going to say it's unique. I know other people do it. But you go out and you have your album series.
Yeah.
And you get out and play an entire album. And, you know, some albums are better than others. There are some albums that probably have some weak songs, but you guys do it all, right?
Oh, yeah, we try to pick albums that don't have weak songs.
Right.
And, yeah, it becomes a little more selective that way. But I think what we do that's unique is with the same band, we'll do Master of Puppets, Metallica.
Right.
And then we'll do the White Album by Beatles, and then we'll do Eat a Peach by the Allman Brothers.
And that's coming up this spring.
Yeah, Eat a Peach is, at the end of March.
March 27th.
Yeah. And actually, we're doing Eat a Peach and Live at the Fillmore, so both albums in one night. So
this got rescheduled. We were supposed to do this Allman Brothers album thing last year, and it got rained out, so we're sort of
making up for it.
Where's this going to be?
Sugar Creek Brewing Company.
They have a sound stage over to the side, and actually what it is a loading dock. and it's got an alleyway, and it's a pretty good size alleyway, and they turn it into a stage, and it's a big time. They pack people in there. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
And we'll do both those albums. We did Dark Side of the Moon. Mm-hmm. We've done a lot of Pink Floyd.
Well, the cool thing, when the album thing started, I had been gigging some, and Caleb was gigging a lot, and there's just this group of friends that you have that play music that don't really get to play a lot, but you're still a guitar player and you still want to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And Caleb kind of had this idea of, I've got these connections at venues and I've got places that'll let us play. Let's pick a really cool album and essentially give his buddies that play music an excuse to work on
stuff.
But
don't get a chance to go out and play.
They don't get a chance to go out and play because they don't do it for a living, but still are musicians, to kind of have something to go do. I mean, his dad has played with us on a lot of stuff.
Any former students, that you guys have taught music to get out there with you for parts?
Yeah, well,
Chad High.
Yeah, we did one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
I don't know if you know, I've been trying to get Caleb to do... You guys did Master of Puppets. Mm. I want Ride the Lightning.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
That's my favorite.
We did the Black album last year.
Yeah, I remember seeing, and Dave was playing with you guys on that.
Yeah. Dave plays on all of them.
Yeah, Dave's in.
He and Justin are the reason I can go to the keys and feel comfortable, because they hold down that guitar side really well. And I don't have to worry about the guitar.
Like, very cool.
Yeah. So it lets me stretch my keyboard muscles.
That's
out.
Right.
So now, when I text you guys randomly, I'm just going to say Ride the Lightning, or I may say For Whom the Bell Tolls or Fade to Black.
Yeah. You know, between the two Metallica shows we did, we've almost done the whole album. We just hadn't put it together.
Yeah.
Like, we did all the Creeping Death and Fade to Black or For Whom the Bell Tolls. I mean, yeah. Call of Cthulhu, that'd be fun.
Those are great songs.
Oh, well, Call of Cthulhu is a great song.
One of the things we've done is we've kind of set up as best Tripp and I know how to get you guys to hear a little bit of their music. These are a couple songs that you can come out and hear at the end of March.
Just moments?
Yeah. If you don't mind. And we are not sound engineers, but I think we have a set up to where we can get a pretty good sound for you. So if you guys would like to...
Don't sell yourself short, man.
Yeah. We'll let you guys get set.
Yeah.
And I think that electrical tape will hold, so just, grab whatever you think is safe. It's fine.
And just let me know when you guys are ready.
Yeah.
So anyway, you think they'll want us to sing along?
Please do.
Absolutely. Rich baritones that we can add in there.
I doubt that very seriously.
Which one do you want to do first?
Let's do Melissa.
Oh, I like that one.
That's easy.
It's fine.
And no one knows the
That sounded really good.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, if I could play a thing like that, I would have found a girl named Melissa to be my girlfriend. I would have sung it to her.
Don't think we didn't try.
Every day.
That's right.
You'd be in trouble because if you didn't, whatever her name was, you'd be playing Melissa all the time.
That's true.
That's the many Melissas around.
Oh, you'd have to stick with her.
Right.
Listen, that's the talking point for half of our students. We say, gentlemen, listen.
This is a gold mine.
Like, this is how you get dates. Like, don't think for a second, especially in the age of your video game kids. Like, if you bust out a guitar and you can wail on it, you will have a date.
Don't get me started on the video game kids.
Yeah.
It's
Fortnite. That's another discussion, right?
Rotten your
right.
brain.
Day. Yes.
Oh,
gross.
My gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well,
I didn't say the date would go well.
All right.
Yeah.
Right. Let's just get you in the door. Then right. you got to sell the...
Once they actually know the real you, then it's all down.
That's right.
The fact that you can play, yeah. though.
It really that door. Gets you in the door.
Right. It does. Right. It does.
That gets you in the door, but yeah, you have to have something to back it up.
Right.
Okay, so I'm going to plant this seed now. When I retire, I want to take guitar lessons. I would love to learn how to play the guitar, but I think I'm probably too old to really know. But I want to know how to play a song, and I want to get up there on the album and play When You Guys Finally Do Ride the Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
Not like, none of the hard parts. I mean, just the power chord.
Do the hard part. Why not do the hard part?
No, I don't want the hard part. Yeah,
do that part right there, yeah.
Yeah, my fingers would be like that.
How's it go? There you go. That can be your part of the...
That's what I'm talking about. When they drop it down.
Yeah. Dum, 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 dum.
You got it, brother.
I can handle that.
You can.
I can
you could be the bagpipe backup on that.
Yes.
Now it's come full circle.
There it is.
So see, class of 2003, you're speaking, that's our class, that Korn.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Korn
yeah.
was the bagpipes and, yeah.
Man, there's something really just wonderfully trashy about, like, Korn and Limp Bizkit and, like, Disturbed. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. Who else is in that?
System,
like,
of a Down.
System of a Down.
Rage Against the Machine, would that fall into the same?
Rage Against the Machine. Let me just. Rage Against the Machine. It's just a little bit cut above.
Oh, wow! It's not a little bit cut above. It's a lot.
It's a lot of it cut above. It is. Yeah. It's just some real guilty pleasure in that Korn.
Rage is it though? I'm going to see them. I got tickets to go see them. Yeah, they're actually touring.
Does every sound? I know the bow wow, bow wow. Is every Bulls song sound like that, or they play that in every song?
No.
Okay.
That's just.
I think it's probably the only song I know.
Yeah, it's the wah wah pedal. Wow wow, chicka wow wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes a little more sense then.
Yeah, it was at Lollapalooza when Rage was it Lollapalooza. Anyway, Rage was playing, and I was there. I was teaching. And I heard them screaming about...
you were teaching at Lollapalooza?
Yes, exactly. Always teaching, right? Always teaching.
Always teaching.
Yes.
And they were screaming out about, you know, resisting the system and get the man off your back. And then I'm looking around thinking, wait a minute. I am the man. I don't belong here anymore.
<That's>
this is no longer my venue. It was the same year that Metallica played it.
And
you said pack up class, we're out of here.
I said, I'm
no
out.
No more equations
today. It was at where they did the drag racing. The Rock.
Darlington?
Rockingham.
Rockingham. Yeah.
Is Chad McAllister still a teacher?
No, he's at...
he's at Stuart Kramer now.
Yeah. So we can edit out when I say Purple Palace, right? We'll cut that out? Yeah. Okay.
Chad McAllister was my English teacher, and he would bring me bootleg Rage Against the Machine recordings and stuff, and it was really cool. I still
that
have
is
those.
Cool. Oh, yeah.
He has some interesting concert stories if you ever get a chance.
Yeah.
If you ever have some time to sit down and talk with him, interesting stuff. Yeah, but he, you'd be surprised at some of the debates we have here. There are several hard rock fans here, and some people you wouldn't expect, but we had a big debate, McAllister and Griffin and I, Mr. Sisson, and it was about Metallica and best album. And I hold firm to Ride the Lightning. They were about Master of Puppets. I was outvoted, but I think I swayed at least one other person to...
Look, I couldn't make a call. I mean, I can't make a call there. That's just too...
Justin and I are going to have a totally different... we're going to probably agree, but it's going to be in left field from where you...
Yeah.
Load?
Yeah, probably Load. The Load. Not metal.
It's not metal.
Right. Yeah, I've come around on Load. Load's actually a better album than it was
originally. So I think that...
In my head.
And Metallica fans totally disowned it because it's not metal.
Right, but they hung a left.
But see, to me, it's the first time they ever just went and threw all their worries out the window and said, let's just make music. It doesn't have to be anything. We don't have to fit a stereotype. Let's just make music. And it came out kind of weird. But...
It's good.
To me, it was the most creative thing.
I think you've got to cave a little bit, though, to the idea of the album. Like, what an album is, what an album's supposed to do as an artist, what you're doing when you pursue making an album.
Not
like
a collection
like
of
in
songs.
Like in a proper sense, like orthodox album making.
Right.
And I do think it's okay to say, and this is where I would say, that, like, best metal album. I don't think that metal as a genre is lending itself to, like, the best light of what an album really is. Because it's really just a collection of, like, aggressive songs and riffs that aren't really saying something as much as, you know, if you're... Well, who's the guy? Our Mother the Mountain. Southside White Boys like him.
Towns Van Zandt.
Towns Van Zandt. Yeah. Bob Dylan. Like, these, you know... kind of people that really have something to say, or even Pink Floyd with concept stuff, anybody with concept stuff that's going on.
They're telling a story throughout a series of songs.
Yeah, so I think that, like, a lot of the best album arguments are good, but it's like you're not, I think it's less what album is better and, like, more
which one has better songs on it.
Yeah, which one has better songs on it, which one
sounds
cooler.
We can all agree that Ride the Lightning has better songs.
Has better songs. The best songs.
Would you not say that
Orion?
In some ways?
No. I'm not, well, that's the thing. There are some, and I'm when he said that, it made me think. I felt guilty because, you know, there's three or four songs on the album. I like the rest of it.
Right.
You know, it's like now, when I had it, you have to remember it was cassette, so we couldn't skip, but it was...
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best.
You missed the 8-track days where you could, swap track 1, track 8.
I think Justice was kind of themed.
I have Injustice for All on cassette.
Like, it had that political angst kind of thing running throughout the whole thing.
It was angsty.
Have you guys been to the record store in Gastonia?
Oh, yeah.
Love
Revolver.
Revolver.
Yeah, we support them a lot.
Yeah.
Everybody should go.
Yeah, I would like to. I saw it. I've driven by it several times, and they're always, you know, not just one or two cars. There's six or seven cars out there.
Yeah.
And I've wanted to stop by.
He has good stuff, too.
He has good stuff. He has clean stuff. It plays really well. He's got a really comprehensive, in terms of genre. I mean, you can get bluegrass vinyl there. You can get everything from, like, early R&B, early hip-hop and rap on vinyl. You can get kind of your classic rock stuff, blues and jazz. He's doing a lot more with. I think he's really pushed more for jazz recently.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, conversations I've had with him.
I just got Justin I wouldn't have ever expected to see this in Gastonia, but I just got Justin a Charles Mingus Tijuana Moods album for his birthday.
Yeah.
Wow. And
who knew I could buy that new? It wasn't used. It was a brand new copy.
Well, if there's one thing probably there is only one thing that we can thank millennials for. It's for their retro coolness in wanting to go to vinyl.
Oh, yeah.
It's not because they're necessarily cool, but in their minds, that's cool to get vinyl. So I was in Target. Target has new vinyl now.
Sure they do.
Books a Million does.
Books a Million. I've seen those things for a couple years, but when I walked through Target and saw new releases in vinyl, I told my wife, I said, Lori, I have not seen that in decades. I mean, the last time there was vinyl in what was now Target. I guess it was called Richway. You remember Richway, and then it was Gold Circle.
Yep.
And, yeah, when my wife goes in there to spend half my paycheck, I always say, "At least pick me up a vinyl over right. there." Yeah.
We used to see her there every Wednesday night.
I guarantee you shopping. Saw her there every Wednesday.
Shopping like a boss.
Listen, she goes for with no objective.
Yeah,
there's a Starbucks and there's light music playing, and she leaves all the kids at home and goes. And this has nothing to do with what we're here to talk about.
But. This is Caleb talking about his wife, not Justin talking about his wife. Let's be clear right now.
Let's make sure we're clear on that.
That's right. My wife had nothing to do with Ashbrook, so I'm clear.
That's okay. True, yeah. There you Shamelessness.
Go. No, there you go. We don't want to hold you guys up here all day. I could talk to you guys for hours.
I'm having a good time.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Definitely.
We're good.
And we definitely want you guys to play another song in a few minutes, if that's okay.
Yeah, whatever you want, yeah.
So as it turned out, they did, in fact, play another song, and we talked to them for another 30, 35 minutes. But our goal is to keep these kind of short, so we cut the episode there. But don't worry. The other part is coming. That episode should follow relatively quickly. Had a great time talking to them.
And I hope you enjoyed our first Ashbrook story as we caught up with Caleb Davis and Justin Moorhead from the class of 2003. And we hope you'll tune in for part two. The music is great, and the stories were even better. Thank you.
Thank you much.
All music on this podcast is performed by Caleb Davis, and it is used with his permission. We're gonna shout and sing, we're gonna hide.